Wednesday night on soteriology, which is a fancy word for saying the study of salvation. And you can always just tell somebody you know that word, ask them, say, have you ever looked into soteriology? And they'd be like, sorcery? No, it's not sorcery. It's salvation. And so last week we talked about what is salvation. And if you remember last week, I didn't have a lot of time, so I went a little faster than I wanted to. But the Lord knew. And the means of salvation, and then what does salvation cover? And we know that salvation covers everything, right? We're covered because it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is not in an object, it's in Jesus Christ. We don't trust in salvation for salvation. We trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And so tonight we're going to be in John chapter 3. Let's look at the first 8 verses. And I'm sure Pastor probably covered this too as he's doing the book of John. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor, you had one of your church members say the other day, you ought to stay in the book of John. It's been a good series already, and it just seems like it's pastor's heart and been doing a great job. And so I meant to relay that message to you, and I can't remember who told me that. So if you're here tonight, remind me who you are. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, not a good name for your child, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, probably like most of us would have said during this time, how can a man be born when he is old? In other words, how does that work? Well, I'm glad God has all answers, doesn't he? And he says, and either he's second time, enter in second time into his mother womb and be born. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Now, that is when you're in your mother's womb, you're in water, right? That's talking about the natural birth, okay? And born of the Spirit. That's the one we lack when we're born into this world. We're born by a sin nature. We're born naturally through a man and a woman. And mom gives birth to the baby. That baby's born in this world. That baby's born with a sin nature. And Jesus is telling us that that baby or that person must be born again. Why? Because the first nature is of the wrath of God. It's under the wrath of God. Because why? We're born sinners because of the seed of Adam. Okay? And so he's saying you must be born, number one, of water. You got to be born into this world. In order to be saved, you have to be here. I'm telling you, this is deep theology. You know, it's kind of like you can't get help if you're not here, right? But notice what Jesus says. He says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay, that's the second birth. And then he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And he goes on to say that in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, talking about the Holy Spirit, an example of the Holy Spirit, and heareth the sound thereof. But canest not tell whence it come and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so tonight we're going to go over the terms of salvation or the terms of soteriology. And we're going to go over some different terms that are found in the Bible. Remember last week I gave you the example of the diamond. When you look at a diamond, it's multifaceted. You can look at it from different ways and see different things. We know salvation really is viewed two ways. Number one, Godward. And then manward. How we see it and how the different words that are used in the Scripture. And we're going to talk about 4 or 5 of those tonight. We'll see how far we get. But I want to pray and then want to ask the Lord to help us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God, that you've given us. And Lord, I'm just so honored that you would allow me to open your word and to speak to your people. And Father, I pray that you would bless the hearers tonight. Lord, bless as they listen. And God, I pray that they'd be doers of your word. And Lord, just hide me tonight and help me, God, to be totally submitted to you. And God, that I would say nothing or Lord, nothing would hinder tonight, God, your message. And so, Lord, if you just use me just for the next few moments, I would, Lord, just be ever grateful to you and give you thanks and praise. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight we're going to start off and talking about regeneration. And really that word regeneration is found here in the Scripture. When he says you must be born again, That is talking about regeneration. So regeneration, if you take the last word, generation means birth or creation, then you put the word re in front of it, means to do again, or means to be born again. And the reason that is true is because the first birth, we have a defect, right? We are underneath the wrath of God. We need a new birth, okay? We need a new birth. How do we get a new birth? We get a new birth by Jesus Christ regenerating us, giving us new life, and giving us a new standing with God. We'll talk about that, all right? What regeneration is not? Sometimes people said the best way to find out what something is to find out what it is not. And that is so true, isn't it? So what is what regeneration is not? It is not merely, I keep forgetting, I don't have to look back here, it's so awesome. It's back there too, don't turn around and look, okay? It is not merely an improvement of the old nature, okay? A lot of people think regeneration is just an improvement of the old nature. It's not that, it's not you trying to do better. It is God regenerating you. He is the regenerator. He is the one who regenerates us. He is the author of our salvation, as the book of Hebrews tells us. And so when we think about that regeneration, it's not just I'm going to better myself. Why? Because we have a sin nature. You have to get rid of that sin nature by replacing it with a new nature, right? Now, we still have the old flesh. We understand that. But spiritually speaking, we're born of the water through our mother into sin. Everybody's born in the sin. And I just want to throw this out there because the scripture does tell us, and David tells us this in Chronicles, I believe it is I just want to throw this out there because this is for free. What people ask me all the time, what about kids before the age of accountability? What about handicapped kids? God's got them safe. They're not saved, but they're safe. And I tell people that all the time. Just like if Bailey was to die today, guess what? God would take her while she's safe. She doesn't understand. She doesn't have the mental capacity to understand. Somebody asked me this one time, what is the age of accountability? It's different with every kid. The Southern Baptist Convention used to have it in their bylaws that it was 12 years old because that was when Jesus first appeared. Nowadays, 6 years old, there are some geniuses out there that can know, well, they're not geniuses. They know when they're right and when they're wrong. All right, so it's not merely an improvement of the old nature. It is not an outward reformation. See, remember when Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you know what, you clean up the outside, but inward, you're just the old, you're vipers is what he actually ended up calling them. And on the inside, it's not just saying, hey, I wore a suit to church, I came to church. That's not regeneration. Regeneration is God giving you a new life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He quickened you. He quickened you by the Holy Spirit of God through the act of salvation. And so it is not an outward reformation. We know these. I'm going to try to get through these. It is not inherited. John chapter 1 verse 13 tells us it's not inherited. We inherit one thing, and that is a sin nature. Pastor says it all the time, and I hope it never gets old because it is so true. We never have to teach our kids to do wrong. Somebody say amen again right there. Now, I hear that grandkids are not as true about that, but I'll wait on that day. All right? Yeah, it's coming quick. It's not inherited, and it's not a work of man. By the way, it's nothing you can do. Not a works which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. What is generation? Let's look at regeneration. Let's see what that is. Oh, I went too quick. It is new or a second birth. And we see that, and I wish we had time tonight to go through all these verses. But John chapter 3, verse 3, we just read it. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you can't go past this point unless you get saved. In other words, God's not going to open the gates of heaven for you. God is not going to take away the wrath of God unless you have been regenerated. You have a new nature that is given to you by Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying, is that it is a new or a second birth or being born again. And then it is a cleansing. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us that regeneration is a cleansing. God forgives us of our sin. Amen. And we're going to talk about that here in a little while. But God forgives us of our sin, that cleansing. By the way, when you get saved, your slate is clean. Whew, I like that. Amen. And by the way, we'll talk about how clean it is here in just a little bit. But what else is it? It is receiving life. And you hath he quickened. I just gave you that while ago. But also it is a new creation. It is a new creation. That all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're standing before God when you get regenerated, when you get saved, an act of salvation. When you get regenerated, is as you stand before God, forgiven of all your sin for all time. Getting ahead of myself. It is an act of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Ghost comes and convicts us of our sin. And he is the earthly agent, so to speak, that helps us, convicts us, and walks us to that point of salvation. Notice what else it is. It is a completed action, never to be repeated. I like that. You know what I hate? And I know you do too. You say you shouldn't hate. When we talk about computers, we can talk about hate. I hate when I get on my computer and it says, re-enter your password. Drives me nuts. You know why? I don't know what it is. I put on there, remember me, right? So I don't have to do that. Well, I got a new phone, and when I got a new phone, I was going through trying to get all my stuff, and it said, re-enter your password. I'm like, I have no idea. I have 100 of them. I don't know why we don't keep the same one, but I hate re-entering something. I hate redoing something. And aren't you glad you don't have to keep redoing your salvation? Aren't you glad that whenever you commit that sin, whatever it may be, that some people say, listen, I was raised in the Assembly of God Church. That was my beginnings in life. And listen, I was taught as a kid is that if you do certain sins, you got to get saved again. Boy, you talk about living in terror. God said he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. And I think I told you this last week, I think some Baptists should believe that. That way they'd act better. But that wouldn't be biblical, so we can't do that. Why is salvation pictured as a new birth? I think this is very good, by the way. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ picture regeneration or salvation by a birth? Well, I think the first one kind of gives it to us because it's a common universal expression or experience. In other words, everybody understands birth. We were all born, right? We understand that birthing process. Now, who knows it better than mothers, right? Us men, it's like, man, that went by quick. And the mom's going, I'll stab you in the back with a knife, right? 9 months, you know, of some horror in that for the ladies. We're very thankful for you ladies, by the way. But why was it pictured? Because it was common. It was universal. Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He was explaining the salvation process, the regeneration process, in a term and in a way that he would have understood it. Listen, just as you was born from your mother, you have to be born spiritually into the family of God. You must be born again. That regeneration in there. Matter of fact, if you study biology, regeneration is a part of biology. I don't know a lot about biology, but I had to take biology in college. And I remember taking biology and all these things, and I remember how they try to regrow arms and legs and all these things, but it's a regeneration process. Listen, nobody can mask what God has already done. Because why? He's the creator. And so it is because it's common, but also it involves a nature. It is the nature. Okay, what nature are we talking about? When we talk about this term regeneration and he's talking to Nicodemus, he knows that there is a nature. Our nature is a sin nature. We're born into sin, but we also can have a new nature. But also because it involves a new beginning. I like starting over. Amen? I love starting over. I'm glad that God allows us to do that in our life. But when we got saved, we got a brand new beginning. And then we see also, because birth is absolutely complete. Right? A baby comes out, guess what? It's done. Well, not in today's. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't abort his children? Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad when we come out, God looked at us and go, no, I don't think I want this one. No, God doesn't abort none of his babies. Once we're born into the family of God, guess what? It's just like when I was born into the Wiggins clan. We don't even call it a family. You're in the South. You be careful. There's a whole lot that goes on there. But I was born to the Wiggins family or the Wiggins clan. I can't undo that. Even though my parents divorced whenever I was young, I was still a Wiggins. I was still of my father, and I was still of that Wiggins clan, that Wiggins family. Listen, why? Because I was born into that family. There's no redo on that. Now, I know we all have different backgrounds, but we're born into the family of God. We're born into the family of God. God doesn't take it and go, no, we're done. That it is a complete action. And then we see, because birth is final, we just talked about that. Well, let's talk about the second word tonight. We see regeneration. Now we see the second word, justification. Turn over to Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Notice the word here. He says in verse 1, chapter 5, Romans, therefore, being justified by faith. I love when the scripture just tells you right out how we're justified. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. Why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when He justified us, He gave us peace with our Heavenly Father. Because why? That was the only payment that God would accept. Okay? Notice the first thing. What is the definition? Definition of it is to be declared righteous. It is a judicial word that means not guilty, right? Hello. If you stood before God today and God says, all right, Michael Wiggins, come forth. Okay. Born sinner? Yes, sir. But looks like your payment was taken care of at Calvary. Not guilty. Hallelujah. Even though my righteousness is as filthy rags, Jesus Christ's righteousness in my life has justified me. Look at this next part. Is that how can God declare a sinner righteous? I love this question. I didn't come up with it. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are made right. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 tells us that. That we are justified through Jesus Christ. When you take that which is perfect and put it with what is not imperfect, guess what? It becomes perfect. Because Jesus is perfect. We are justified. We are justified. Next thing, we see God is just and righteous. By the way, God does things just and righteous. In other words, if we are guilty, we are guilty. And the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we're guilty. We're born guilty of what? Of sin, of the wrath of God being on our life, that we are born that way. But when Jesus saves us, when we have salvation in our life, guess what? God is just and righteous to declare us not guilty because of His Son. We are sinful and unrighteous, right? That's how He can declare us a sinner righteous. Why? Because we're unrighteous. And the next part's going to say it. God makes us righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. When you're filthy and dirty. By the way, if we were born clean, why would we need Jesus Christ? We've said it for years. The hardest part about soul winning is one thing. It's showing people that they're lost. We live in a prideful society, don't we? And people don't want to admit that they are born sinners. I want you to notice the next thing. What is faith? See, justification was quick, wasn't it? Justification went by quick. But we're justification. By the way, we use that term a lot. I didn't use it a while ago. But justification means what? Just as if I never sinned. It means a clear standing before God. What is faith? I want to get to this one. Faith is an activator, right? It is the key agent of salvation. Before by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the key agent that is our part of salvation. You say, whoa, wait a minute, we have a part in salvation. Sure we do. We trust, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me give you this. I don't know where I got this from, but I'll just take it as my own. What is faith? Well, we know what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. That's a scriptural definition. But I heard this from sometime or another. It is fully trusting God without any reservations. That's it. It's fully trusting God without any reservations. Faith is not going, Lord, I trust you with this, but Lord, I'm going to do this. It's not your part and His part. It's fully trusting Him. Matter of fact, if you notice the next thing, faith is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is our job. We're looking unto Jesus, not worried about what's going on here, just looking at God and trusting Him. Listen, we can trust in a lot of things. We have credit cards, we have this and we have that. Listen, it's not wrong to use doctors, it's not wrong to use medicine, but we don't trust in that. We trust in the God. We trust in God, and we have faith in Him. And if God chooses to use you or use somebody else to accomplish His will in your life, then to God be the glory. But faith is truly and fully trusting in God, looking unto God. It is the object. Its object. What is the object of faith? Well, let me read it down here where I can actually see it. In what or who or in whom do we have faith? All right? The sole object of our saving faith is what? Jesus Christ. Amen. There again, faith is not putting your trust in something. It is trusting Christ only. Putting your faith in Christ only. I know Pastor says a lot from the pulpit, but it needs to be resounded again. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in the time, not in the church membership, not how you were born into the world. It's not who your family is. It is solely putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The next thing we see, that it's necessary, or the necessity. Why is it important? In other words, why is faith important? Well, the Bible tells us faith in Christ alone is absolutely essential to salvation. In John chapter 3, verse 36. Go back to John chapter 3 and verse 36, if you will. John chapter 3 and verse 36, and I'll try to be quick. But notice what the Bible says. John chapter 3 and verse 36. The Bible tells us that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So if you take that verse and you read it backwards, that if you don't trust in Jesus Christ, you don't put your faith in Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. By the way, in one day, God will release what is holding the wrath of God from not crushing you to crush you. It will annihilate you. The wrath of God will annihilate your life, and you'll be cast into a devil's hell. But here's what the Bible says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath what? Everlasting life. When you get saved, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you guess what? You get eternal life. That's a pretty good trade, isn't it? I trust who and what Jesus is and what He did for me, believing the gospel. And He gives me everlasting life because of the activator that is called faith. Well, let's look at the source. Where does this faith come from? You know what's amazing about faith? You don't have it within yourself. You realize you're not born with faith? We're not born with faith. Because why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is that faith? God gives us to the faith to put in Him. You say, that doesn't make sense. You have to accept it by faith. That it doesn't make sense. Why? Because we don't have faith within ourselves. He gives us the faith through His Word when we read His Word. That's why when we're not in His Word every day, our faith will lack. One thing that the disciples were told, two things actually that they were told, that they were short on faith and that they had no faith. That's a bad day, isn't it? When somebody tells you, first of all, you're lacking faith, but number two, that you don't have no faith. Oh, ye of little faith, he said, but then he said, ye have no faith. And we have to be careful with that. Well, I want to give you a last thing, and we're going to be done. I didn't think I'd get through. Hallelujah. Thank Jesus. It's application. What is sanctification? And if I'm going too fast, I'll give you a copy of my notes. And I only charge $100 per copy, so it should be all right now. Seriously. But sanctification. So we're talking about what is salvation, the parts of salvation. Well, when you read the Bible, you're going to notice these words, justification, regeneration. Maybe not the word regeneration, but it's the fact is there, the being born again, the regeneration part of our salvation. And sanctification, we'll talk about that now. But notice what it is. What is sanctification? Every believer is sanctified before God at salvation. And we're going to talk about the different parts of salvation. Its definition is, what does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be set apart unto God. Doesn't mean that I'm set apart. You can be set apart by yourself. That's the way I like to eat. But I like to be set apart unto God. That sanctification, we're set apart unto God. It is imputed or positional sanctification. We're going to talk about that. The results of the finished work of Jesus Christ, whereby the believer is set apart unto God. Well, there's positional sanctification. Okay? I want you to get this tonight, and pastors went through this before, but this is just reiterating what's already there. The positionally, we are in Christ. When we're sanctified at the time of salvation. In other words, we're justified. We're regenerated because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But we are also sanctified. Positionally before God today, I stand redeemed. I stand just as if I never sinned. I am sanctified. When Christ saved me, He saved me by giving me His righteousness. I put on the robe of His righteousness. I have been covered by His blood. I have been cleansed by His blood. The moment I got saved as a 16-year-old boy at Enid Baptist Church in Enid, Florida, I was sanctified. In other words, I was cleansed positionally before God. When God looked at me, I do believe it was a Thursday night, part of revival. Back then we used to have week-long revivals. We started on Sunday, and usually we ended on Friday. And sometimes if you sung the right song, preached the right message, you may go to Saturday. It may go another week if you're in a tent because you're not paying a lot of electricity for air conditioning. But I do believe it was a Thursday night, and I trusted Jesus Christ my Savior. Before I came down to that altar, I was sitting back at the very back pew. I came down front. I remember I was on this side. I asked Jesus Christ to save me. Before I got there, guess what? Michael Wiggins was filthy before God. When God looked at me, He saw my sin. He saw how vile and wretched I was. But the moment I trusted Jesus Christ, that altar, and through the Word of God, somebody showed me. When I stood up as a 16-year-old boy, guess what? I was sanctified and justified before God, positionally speaking. Now, let's talk about the next thing. Progressively. There's progressive sanctification also. In other words, Jesus Christ, God has called us to be conformed into the image of Christ, right? That means that there has to be one thing. When you're born into the world, guess what? Birth is complete. When that baby comes out, it's complete. It's done. That baby. But there is a process now. What is it? It's growth and maturity. That child now grows and matures. And here's the sad part about salvation, folks, is that there are people that have been saved 30 years, 40 years, who have not gained a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not been conformed into the image of God. There are some people that get saved, and boy, they're still in diapers. Still needing bottles and things like that. Parents, aren't you glad when your kids get out of diapers? Aren't you glad when your kids get out of that bottle? I remember back in the day. Now, they got all kind of great little tricks, and some of you know more than I do, but I always hated it. I always had to go warm that bottle up, you know, and shake that thing and make sure it was just right temperature, mix everything together. Now I'm sure they have just a button you mash and you just, voila, you know. I remember all those days. It was just something else. But the greatest day is when your kids can actually go potty by themselves. Hey, good job. Here's your Snickers. You know, whatever it takes. Right? Well, can you imagine how our God feels that if we've been saved 45 years and we're still needing milk and still needing a diaper change? Hello? We ought to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and mature. And by the way, some of us mature different speed limits, right? I was a little slower, as usual. I always say the turtle wins every time. You can be the hare if you want to, but I'm going to be the turtle. Slow and steady is my pace, right? But you know what? We grow at different rates, and you can't judge people by that, but you just want to see them grow, right? You want to see them grow, just as our kids, they grow at different rates. I got to keep going. Sanctification, you notice all these things, that sanctification is a cleansing, is cleaning up your act by the Word of God. It is, right? It is a daily cleansing that you need. Why? Because we get dirty. We get filthy, and God will cleanse you through the Word. That more you read the Word of God, the more it cleanses us. And we also see sanctification as a reckoning. You ought to study this, study that word out. The Bible says, reckon in your mind. In other words, it is changing your mindset. By the way, I don't think about sin the way I used to think about it. I don't sit around going, you know, things don't enter in my head like this. Why? Because, by matter of fact, one of the greatest scriptures on reckoning is reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin. In other words, it starts with the right mindset. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What is that mindset? It's a servant attitude. It is a humble attitude, and that's what we need in our life. Also, sanctification is a continual work. It takes time, doesn't it? Listen, we have to be careful with this too. People come get saved and we go, my soul, why have they not cleaned that act up yet? It takes time, people. It does. It takes time sometimes. And sanctification is the will of God, right? It is the will of God in our life. And then there's perfect sanctification. And you know that when this is going to come is when we hear the shout. It's what we shall be in Jesus Christ. One day, what we shall be when we get to heaven, guess what? No more sin. No more sin. You talk about perfect sanctification. Well, when we get a new body, when we enter into heaven and we go through judgment and all these things, guess what? One day God's going to give us a new body. And guess what? When we stand before Him, we're not even going to have the thought of sin. What a day, glorious day that will be. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. Can you imagine that? Sin is what breaks our fellowship with each other, what ruins our world, decays our world, our body, and all these things. When it's taken away, what a day, glorious day that will be. Boy, I'm glad tonight I'm saved. Amen. I'll end with this tonight, and Pastor can come, is that how's your growth? How's your progressive sanctification? Is it like this? I hope not. I hope that it's something like this. You know, some people more like this, some people... Well, I guess I should be truthful. Pastor does this all the time, right? You know, it shouldn't be this in life. It should be, you know, you're going up. And so it is a roller coaster. That's okay. One of the greatest things our God lets us do is start over. Okay, I messed up, Lord. All right, start over again. I love that. I wish I got that meaning when I was taking tests. Teacher, sorry, I failed that one. Can we just do over? Trust me, I asked a lot of times. Had a lot of flags in my life. Those F's flying and full staff. But I'll tell you what, teacher said, no, you don't get another chance, but I'm glad God does. And God will let you start over again and again and again. But you know what should happen in our life? It should get to where we're not having to start over as much. Because we are becoming more like Christ. And we know that we'll never be like Christ until the day we're taken out of this world. How's your growth tonight? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray and then Pastor's going to come. We'll sing a verse of invitation. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this night, Lord. And I thank you for salvation. And Lord, what all it means to me. God, thank you that you'd save an old sinner like me. But Lord, how are we growing in you and your Son, Jesus Christ? Lord, tonight we know that you're the righteous judge. Lord, that you'd help us. But God, we're so glad you're also that God that'll allow us to start over again and again. Lord, thank you for your grace. Lord, bless your folks tonight. Bless the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.